Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to bestevershow.com.
Finding an organic mentor or a paid mentor, I think that's going to help accelerate your success.
Welcome to the Best Ever Show, the world's longest running daily commercial real estate podcast. Our hosts interview commercial real estate experts every day to get you the best advice ever with none of the fluffy stuff.
All right, best ever listeners, welcome. Looking forward to our conversation today. This is the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever podcast. We only talk about the best advice ever. We don't get into that fluffy stuff. We don't like it. We don't deal with it. And today we're going to be talking to Michael Barnhart. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thanks for having me on. I'm really excited for this podcast and to be able to get back to your listeners.
Well, I'm looking forward to it as well. Michael holds a PhD in biochemistry, so I brought my thesaurus and Wikipedia with me for this interview. He is a co-founder of Adventurous Real Estate Investors. He has got 18 years of military service. Respect you and all of those who serve with you or serve with you. I truly mean that. He has, from a real estate standpoint, 604 multifamily units. We'll dig into that, learn more about his involvement there, and short-term rentals combined. Based in Dayton, Ohio, all of his investments are in Oklahoma and Texas, my old stomping ground. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, Michael, you want to give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and your current focus?
Yeah, absolutely. So like Joe mentioned, 18 years in the military, approaching retirement, so looking forward to that. And then once I get to retirement, the plan is to join Susie, my better half, who's now a full-time real estate investor, and just do real estate full-time and sell around the world as we're doing that as well. My background in the military is program management. I've seen a lot of things come from cradle to grave as far as acquisitions go, all the way through disposition. So a lot of that translates so that I've got the free training basically from the military of how to run a business basically. And so a lot of that translates directly to multifamily. And so I've been able to use a lot of those skill sets in multifamily. Asset management is really my skill set here and in Susie's skill set as well. And so that's what we pride ourselves being really good asset managers and lead sponsors on deals.
Let's talk about that. 604 multifamily units and short-term rentals. So what is the largest property unit-wise?
So largest property unit-wise is 108. So they're all somewhere in there. We have, well, 7 properties with 2 under contract right now as well. And then the short-term rentals is a small multifamily, 8 units that was converted all to short-term rentals.
Okay. Let's dig in. Love to learn more. So let's go with the first multifamily property. And what do they range in size-wise from units? I know up to 108 all the way down to
88 is our first one and our smallest one.
All right. Let's talk about that, the 88 unit. Tell us about it, will you?
That's been a definite learning experience. I feel like this baptism of my fire for the first property. I feel like a lot of people do experience that maybe on their first property or the first couple of properties. But we've experienced quite a bit on this property. Well, just to back up a bit here, we weren't able to acquire this property unless it was for a mentor. We have developed an organic mentorship. An operator who's investing in the area in Tulsa, Oklahoma is really our main stomping grounds. He guided us in helping us understand the underwriting and expenses and stuff like that. But the key to that was just continuing to show up. He said, do this and do that. And we did it the next day. So we met biweekly or maybe twice weekly sometimes as we were approaching closing. And he really helped us and gave us the building blocks in order to close in that first deal. But why I say this is a baptism by fire deal, we've had quite a few things happen on this deal. We've had to re-tenant it basically just to get the residents that we wanted to be in this property. And then we also had a fire that took out an entire building. So there's down 24 units. So that's almost a third of the property being 88 wow. units, right? Well, that fire has happened in March of 2022, and we are still in the process of rebuilding that. But it's looking up. We had the proper insurance on it. We're able to ensure that we're able to rebuild 24 units. Now we have 24 brand new units, basically. In the long run, it'll be worth it.
Well, let's talk about it. Lots of things unpacked there. You said you developed a organic mentor. Tell us how you met, and you're referring to you and Susie, your wife, correct? You
right.
two developed, okay. So yeah. you two developed a mentor. Tell us about how you came across this mentor and how that came about.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. The biggest thing I would recommend for people to find a mentor, we found this guy just by showing up to these virtual networking events. There's hundreds of real estate based networking events. So just showing up. And also when you show up, know your criteria, know the location you want to invest, the size of the asset class, and exactly what kind of assets you want to acquire. And you continue to tell that to every single person that you meet. Because what ended up happening, we're showing up to these networking events, and this person wasn't at that networking event, but somebody was like, I know somebody who's an operator in that market that you're interested in. Let me do an introduction. So that led to an introduction. And then I followed up with a couple emails, added value back to him. So my background is in education. I know you mentioned I have a PhD, but I also teach at a university. So he was developing an education course. So I was able to provide some insight and some help with that on his website in order to give back to him as well. Show him, I want to give back to you because you're giving so much to me.
Mm-hmm. What specifically did you do?
As far as like on the
education. Did you like program the website or did you come up with a new concept for how he should offer his offering? What specifically did you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So he was at the very basic level of how to develop some education that he wanted for his website. And I had a bunch of experience developing programs and education courses. And so basically I shared all my notes from that with him. So he's able to follow my notes and be like, okay, this is how you build a course and stuff like that.
Okay. Then did he find the deal?
He did not. We were involved with a couple of brokers, and luckily he had done a deal with the broker who brought this deal to me. So I was like, oh, here's our mentor. He's going to be part of the general partnership team to help us get this deal closed. So that lent us a lot of credibility on that first deal for sure.
Okay. What specifically did he provide on that deal to help you get it to the finish line?
Just being there really provided the confidence. We were showing up every day trying to figure out exactly what we needed to do, but having him in the background to lean on as like a crutch, if we didn't know what we were doing at that point, we always had somebody to go back to. But, okay, this is where you kind of re-vector us and help us along the way. He didn't take charge at all and be like, this is what you need to do next. He let us figure out the whole situation, which helped us ultimately develop our systems and processes in order to acquire property. So we took notes and wrote everything down. And basically, he helped us along the way if we ever got stuck. But just having somebody there who knows what they're doing lends to a lot of confidence. And I can continue to move forward other than just freezing up and be like, I don't know what we're doing because it's multi-million-dollar property. So I freak out, yeah.
88 units is a big jump from I assume, did you do the short-term rental 8 units before the 88 unit?
That was in the mix of things. After closing on, I think, 2 or 3 properties, and we ended up getting that.
Got it. So what was the largest property you bought prior to the 88 unit?
That was it. 88.
That was it. This is the first one.
First one, yeah.
All right. Well, let's keep talking about it then. This is getting more and more interesting as we go. What percent ownership of the general partnership did you give your mentor?
I think he ended up getting around 17.5% or something like that.
How could you come up with 17.5%? Tell me the thought process.
There's like 6 of us on the general partnership team, and then just kind of how it shook out or whatever.
Okay. So you partnered with your mentor, and then there were, what, 3 other individuals?
Yes.
I assume it's you and Susie, mentor, Susie. And then 3 more people?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how did you get to know those 3 other people?
Through networking as well, especially a military mastermind for one of them. And then one of them was a classmate of mine. And then the other one came through networking as well. One of them was living in the local area, so boots on the ground type of partner for that. And then the other 2 just came from networking at these real estate meetups as well.
Mm-hmm. So you live in Dayton, which makes sense. You're in the Air Force. Amazing museum, by the way, outside of Dayton. My brother, he's in the Army, went to West Point, and we took him up there, and we spent 1/2 day, and he said he could spend 4 days in that museum, and I had a lot of fun too. But you live in Dayton, properties in Tulsa, but you have a local person on the GP side in Tulsa. So what is your role now as a general partner on this deal?
For our first deal, we thought that we needed boots on the ground and stuff like that, especially because at this time we were living in Cambridge, England.
So there's
like
that.
So it's like 1 hour north of London. We actually closed on 5 properties while we were over in England. We just moved back to Dayton in January. But now since Susie went full time 2.5 years ago or something like that, she was actually flying back and forth to Tulsa at least once a month, if not twice. So now we don't really have a boots on the ground partner on any of our new acquisitions because Susie actually provides that opportunity. And we set up really good systems and processes with our on-site management in order to be able to communicate with them on a daily basis. I was actually just communicating with them right before this podcast. We use Asana, which is a program management software tool, and that allows us to have a daily pulse on like actually what's going on our properties. Since we are the lead sponsors and we are the asset managers for all of our deals too.
When you say you're the lead sponsors, what do you mean by that? You have the most ownership?
We have the most ownership, and then we also find the deals most of the time, and then we basically take it all the way through the acquisition process. Sometimes people will bring us deals and be like, we need your help closing on this. You have experience in it. Can you help us get to the finish line with that? But then we also want to asset manage all of our assets. So that's definitely a priority. If somebody brings us a deal, we're going to asset manage it if we like it.
So didn't buy anything up until the 88 unit deal. What gave you the confidence to say, yep, I'm going to be the lead on asset management? I've never done this before. I get it. I heard what you earlier said about your military background and being in the role that you're in, program management. But asset management of apartment community is a whole different thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. So again, our mentor, he is the asset manager for his properties as well. So for the first asset, he helped us along the way. If we got stuck, this is what you need to review in the financials. This is what you look for. This is what you don't look for. Things like that. Things you need to keep on top of. Things like that, which kind of helped us through the first year of our first property. And then from that, we've continued to build and build and build on our systems and processes.
When a fire takes place on your property, what's something that you learned that surprised you from that experience?
If it's a big enough fire to take out enough units, just be patient. It's going to take a long time to get enough money from the carrier to cover it. However, we ended up hiring basically some intermediate person who knows all of the ins and outs of insurance. So they know exactly what strings to pull, what things to look for in the language of the insurance in order to get the maximum amount from the carrier. That makes sense. So basically, we don't have to dealing with the carrier and getting the insurance checks written. We have somebody in between us that we manage them, and they go and they find everything, right? So they'll hire a structural engineer or something like that to give an opinion in order to get more money for certain things and stuff like that.
How did you find that person?
This company was recommended by our insurance broker.
Got it. Okay. One more question on that. You said you had to re-tenant it. Was that part of the original plan?
That was not part of the original plan. Even though we did a very distinct lease on it, there was several leases that were almost fraudulent. So we beefed up our process.
In what way were they almost fraudulent?
Basically filled in with nonsense. And then they basically leased it up in order to sell it, even though they said they passed these certain criteria in order to bring them in as residents. When we actually got the first set of financials, they weren't as actually advertised. So we realized that the tenant base there was just placeholder. They were basically placeholders in order to boost the occupancy.
Okay. So they filled it up with people who they knew there's a high probability of not paying, and they weren't qualified to be there. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. 88 units, about how many units did that comprise of?
I would say in the first 18 months, we probably turned over 80 of those 88 units.
Goodness gracious.
It was a long process, a great learning experience, though.
Mm-hmm. And what year did you close on it?
This was just the beginning of 2021.
Just the beginning of 2021. So COVID's still kind of a thing at that point, which probably makes it more challenging, right?
Yeah.
We'll get back to the show. But first, some sponsors I'm confident you'll find value in learning more about. Deciding how to invest your capital is more challenging than ever. That's why it's never been more important to partner with a company with a solid track record and that has thrived through various economic cycles. Companies like BAM Capital. BAM Capital is a trusted multifamily syndicator that has delivered a historical average of over 35% IRR with an average hold period of 3.5 years. BAM Capital has never missed a preferred payment, never lost an LP's investment, and never called capital past the subscription amount. BAM Capital is currently raising capital for a fund designed for accredited investors, targeting a 15 to 20% IRR and a 2 to 2.5x equity multiple to its investors over a 3 to 5 year hold period. If you're an accredited investor and you want to learn more about multifamily investment opportunities with BAM Capital, visit capital.thebamcompanies.com. Again, that's capital.thebamcompanies.com.
How do you pay for re-tenanting a property to that extent when you don't plan on doing it?
Very carefully. It's all about managing the budget, right? Because there's a lot of other CapEx projects that we had that we wanted to do, but we had to just put those on hold. So all the exterior upgrades and things like that, we basically put all those CapEx projects on hold that weren't absolutely necessary until we did the things that are necessary as far as re-tenanting the property, but also during that process, we had more than expected unit turns, of course. So we had to focus on the unit turns and interior renovations versus exterior at the time.
What kind of loan do you have on this property?
We have a Freddie Mac small balance loan, which is great. It got a great rate, 3.86, because when interest rates were in the threes back then, it's great. And it's a five-year hybrid, so it's 5 years fixed, and then it floats for 15 years, so a 20-year loan.
So you raised all the money up front to do the renovations when you got the loan. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So then you could just reallocate that money to do the interior turns.
Exactly.
Okay. If you would have had a bridge loan, then that would have been more challenging,
right?
A private bridge loan, because then the money's supposed to come from the loan and they're like, well, wait a second. This isn't an exterior. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad that worked out. So 88 unit. And then what's an interesting property that we should talk about next?
Next, one thing that I'm really having fun with right now, we have a property out in Pryor, Oklahoma, which is just 45 minutes east of Tulsa. It's where the Mid-American Industrial Park is, second largest Google data centers out there, all this great industry-based, huge industrial park, basically. Anyways, they need 10,000 units right now, and people living in Tulsa, like commuting out there, and our property is at 100%. All the time with a wait list. It's 100 units out there, and we're actually building 8 more units on it right now. We were just out there doing a site visit, and I was like, you know what? There's enough property here that I think we can actually build on it. So very fortunately, we had created enough equity in that property that we were able to get a construction loan last October. We started the whole process in October last year, and it took a minute because of all the interest rates going up and stuff like that. Maybe like 3 months ago, we finally closed on the construction loan. But they just leveraged the equity we had in the deal, and we didn't have to put any down payment on the construction loan, which was really cool. same bank who owns the senior debt on the property as well. But basically, it'll be 12 months interest only, and then we'll be able to do a massive refi for all 108 units once we're done with it. So I'm excited
nice
about
work.
That.
Yeah.
We're able to build 8 units there. So most of the buildings there are quadplexes, which is really good. It's more attractive for a lot of people because it's not really like an apartment style living. It's more like their own home. So we're able to build 2 more fourplexes on it. We're able to add in an additional parking lot because there's not a parking for everybody there as is. And then we're able to fix a lot of drainage issues on the property as well. So we've already replaced all the roofs and the siding, gutters, done all the interior renovations. This is basically a brand new property by the time we're finished it. So really excited about that project.
How much all in will it cost, and how much all in do you think value will be added as a result of that?
We're adding 8 units. We got appraised just over $2 million. I think it's like 2.2 or something like that. And I think it's going to end up costing us roughly 1.4 to 1.5 million to knock that out. And that includes a parking lot and fixing drainage issues and stuff like that.
Just so I'm clear, you're not talking about just the 8 units though, right? The 8 units are worth 2.2 million?
Yeah. So they got appraised at.
8 units worth 2.2 million. So $275,000 a unit.
Yeah, that's what the appraisal came in at. So we're pretty excited about that. And I got appraised at 5.5 cap.
Wow. Huh. That surprises me. I'm glad to hear that. 45 minutes east of Tulsa, $275,000 a unit. You got about $800,000 worth of equity for doing that, right? That's nice. Okay. And you plan on selling that after you complete the units?
Joe, it's cash flowing like crazy right now, and we're able to give high double-digit return to our investors via cash flow right now. So I don't want to. I know we did a 5-year business plan, but after this, I would like to just refi, give some investors money back to them, do a cash out refi, and then continue to hold it for a little bit of time just because this area needs so many more units right now. We don't have any issues. We keep raising rents, and it's just cash flowing pig right now. So I don't want to get rid of it. We'll see what happens at the time, but maybe we'll hold it for another several years and then decide from there.
And I heard what you said about the fourplexes and how they're desirable there for the reasons that you stated. It's like their own home. What about building vertical and getting 32 units or something right there? Was that explored?
It was explored, and we were limited by parking. To be honest, because there wasn't enough parking spots. There's 100 units, and then I think there was like 102 parking spots. And most of these units are 3 bedrooms. 3-bedroom people usually have a couple cars, if not 3. So there was a huge issue with parking on the street and stuff like that and getting cars towed. So we used up the remaining land that we had without taking away too much green space to build another 20-spot parking lot. And then we're adding another, I think, 12 spots in front of the 2 fourplexes. And those are going to be 3-bedroom units, and they're going to be rented for closer to $1,500 a month.
You still partnering with your mentor on these deals?
We haven't since our first deal, to be honest, and he doesn't really mind. He was there to get our wheels off the ground, and we still chat with him. Now he's a really good friend of ours. We go traveling together in Europe and hanging out on a personal level. He's a great guy.
Taking a step back, what's your best real estate investing advice ever?
Best real estate investing advice, finding an organic mentor or a paid mentor. I think that's going to help accelerate your success.
And you talked about how you found your mentor by attending virtual networking events and knowing what you want to buy and telling everyone about it and then just rinse and repeating until something shakes in the trees. Is that
absolutely.
What's been the biggest challenge that you've come across to date in your real estate journey?
I think the biggest challenge is sometimes if something goes wrong at one property, I feel like all the properties have something going wrong at the same time. So it becomes overwhelming. So just being able to manage that stress and having a great team that knows how to handle things like that. That's probably my biggest challenge. If you ask Susie, it'd probably be different. But
what's a specific example of multiple things going wrong at the same time?
It's high temperatures right now across everywhere in the States. Oklahoma, it's been close to 110 or whatever. And because of that, condensers are going full speed and everybody turns their air down to 65 degrees or whatever. And obviously causing some issues with a lot of condensers that we're having issues with on one property or another property as well. Got this fire we're dealing with as well. We had some siding blow off because we had a little bit of a wind storm. were dealing with that. Just like a bunch of different things kind of going on all at once. And they were also managing the development and some delays with that. And it's a lot to juggle sometimes. Mm-hmm. But practicing stoicism for me has helped get through those.
That was my follow-up question. How do you manage a stress? And so specifically practicing stoicism.
Ryan Holiday writes
about it. There you go. Thank you. Yeah. Is it reading Ryan Holiday stuff?
Oh, yeah. I get his daily emails and I read his book every single day.
Which book?
It's called The Daily Stoic. It's like 365 meditations. So every day he gives like a little quote from either Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, or Epictetus or somebody. And then he basically writes a couple paragraphs after that. It's just a one-page thing every morning that Susie and I kind of sit down and read as we're kind of starting our day, just to vector our mind right for the day.
Any other routines that you do that you found helpful along your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. We have daily reminders several times a week to check Asana, which is our project management software tool. So we do that in the morning, twice a week. We're checking delinquencies twice a week as well. I see we're on those on all of our properties. And then for Susie and I specifically, we wake up in the morning, get exercise done. We're training for an Ironman right now, so it's quite a bit of training for that. We're writing down our goals, our affirmations, and things like that for the day, and then sharing that with each other, and then reading that daily Stoic book as well, and meditating right after that or before that. And then we do a daily sync to see where we are with everything. But we also, on Sundays, we call it a Sunday sync, where we sync for the week and see where we're at with everything, what we need to do, and what we need to focus on.
Does Susie have a military background?
She does not, no.
So you write down goals every day. Is that 7 days a week?
7 days a week. Well, maybe six, depending on how I'm feeling on Saturday or Sunday, yeah.
Right. So you write down your goals 6 to 7 days a week, and you each write down your independent goals, and then you read them to each other 6 out of 7 days of the week?
We do, yeah.
Wow. And you work out together also?
We do, yeah.
Huh. That's a tight relationship from a business and personal standpoint. That's pretty incredible.
Having the business together too, because working out or we're doing whatever, no matter what we're doing, we're always thinking about business. It's always in the back of our mind. So we just pick up on a discussion and discuss things or whatever we want to. It doesn't really turn off.
Any suggestions for someone thinking about going into business with their significant other that you have based on what you've learned?
Yeah, 100%. Early on, there was no separation in roles for us. So if you're planning on going into business with your significant other or partner, make sure that the roles are separated and defined. Make sure you have your own swim lane, because if you're in the same swim lane, you're going to be swimming on top of each other. Oh, I thought I was doing that. Well, I was doing this. This is the way I want to do it. Blah, 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 right? So once you define those roles and you're in your own swim lane, let them handle it however they want to. But if they ask for feedback, then give them feedback. The same for you. Just have the defined roles. Don't swim in the other lane and stay in your lane.
We're going to do a lightning round. You ready for the best ever lightning round?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. Best ever way you'd like to give back to the community?
In Tulsa, Oklahoma, there's this place called Inheritance Juicery. They have a giant board. It's like 3x5. And basically we go in there every time we're in Tulsa and we buy all these little coupons basically for free sandwich, free dinner, whatever. And we fill up the entire board and we like sitting there and just watching people take what they need. I really enjoy doing that, giving back to the local community where we invest in.
Best ever deal you've done?
The deal in Pryor, Oklahoma. It's cash flowing like crazy, and I can't say more. I would like to buy more property in Pryor and develop out there too.
How can the best ever listeners learn more about what you're doing?
The best way to get a hold of me is just by going to adventurousrei.com/info. And that's a landing page there. You can find me on Instagram, find Susie on Instagram too, find our YouTube channel, our podcast, and stuff like that, all on that one page.
Michael, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for sharing your journey with us. Lessons learned on the 88 unit, lesson learned on partnering with your spouse or significant other, how to navigate challenges that you've come across with the properties. Really appreciate you sharing your insight and your experiences with us. Hope you have a best ever day and talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Joe. It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Hi, best ever listeners. Joe Fairless here again. And one last thing before you go, would you like to receive a short weekly email with proven tips from experienced investors, free tools and resources, and a roundup of the week's most relevant news and best ever content? Well, if so, join the community of nearly 15,000 commercial real estate passive and active investors who receive the best ever newsletter. Just go to bestevercre.com/access. And you'll get the very next one. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, thank you for listening and have a best ever day.